And Psalm 23 is one of the most famous passages in the entire Bible. Beginning of verse number 1, the Bible reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the reason I read this passage at a wedding, which is a passage that you wouldn't normally associate with marriage or a wedding, is that the Bible likens the relationship of the husband and the wife to that of Jesus Christ and the church. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." And all throughout the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ and the church are likened unto a husband and wife relationship. And the Bible says that as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And in this great passage about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can actually see what the responsibilities are and what the roles are of a godly husband. Because a godly husband is supposed to be like unto Jesus Christ. You know, in this relationship, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ, Orlando. And so if you want to know how to be a good husband, I think Psalm 23 has all the elements that you're going to need to be the right kind of husband. Jesus Christ said, "I am the good shepherd." And here we have the Lord as our shepherd. And in these six verses, I'm going to give you six things that will help you to be the right kind of husband. So in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So in the first verse, we see that the husband's role is to be that of a provider. When it says, "I shall not want," it means that there's no lack of anything. You know, she has everything that she needs. And so according to verse number 1, your role as a husband would be that of a provider. Just as God provides us with all things, God has ordained that a husband provide for his wife and family. The Bible says, "If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So it's a big part of being a husband, being a provider, okay? Number 2, the Bible says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And when I read that verse about lying down in green pastures and being led beside still waters, the image that it invokes is that of peace, stability, a serene, calm atmosphere. And so part of being a husband is not only to be a provider, but also to provide peace and provide stability, to be there as an anchor, to be like a rock, to be firm, and not to be one who is unstable. Now, you know, we know, of course, that women can be emotional sometimes. It's your job to be there to provide that stability and that anchor and not to cause a lack of peace, but to bring peace to the marriage and bring peace to your home. That's part of what it means to be a great husband, not only to provide, but also to bring peace and to bring stability and to be someone that she can rely on, reliability. Okay, that's verse number 2. In verse 3, the Bible reads, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And in verse 3, we see restoring the soul and being led in the paths of righteousness. What is that? Spiritual leadership. As the husband, it's your job to be the spiritual leader of the home. That means to make sure that you're in church, to make sure that you read the Bible and that you pray and that your wife has a walk with God and that you have a walk with God. It's your job to be the leader in all things spiritual. In verse 4, the Bible reads, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So first we saw a provider. Next, we saw that you should bring stability. Next, we saw that you should be the spiritual leader. But in this verse, we see that you should be a protector and provide safety. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." It's your job also to protect your wife, to protect her physically, to protect her her honor, and to take care of her, and to be there as a guardian and a protector. Women, the Bible says, are the weaker vessel. You know, she needs a strong man to be there to protect out for her and so forth. That's part of what it means to be a husband. Then fifthly, the Bible says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now in verse 5, when I read about being anointed with oil and the cup running over, this isn't just a basic providing of our needs. You know, if we stop and get off of marriage for a minute and just think about what God does for us, it's not just that He provides for us the basic necessities of life. That would be verse 1. And it's not just that He gives us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. It's not just that He is our spiritual leader. And it's not just that He is there as a protector and to give us safety. But what I see in this verse is that this is going above and beyond and being a friend, being a companion. This is something extra. You know, when your cup runneth over, that's something extra. That's not just a basic provision. That's an abundance. And, you know, preparing a table and being anointed with oil, these are basically the pleasurable things in life. So it's your job as a husband not to just be a provider and someone to lead, but also to be a friend, to be a companion. And so what I see in verse 5 is that it's your job to provide pleasure unto your wife and to be there as a friend and a companion and to show your love in that way. That's what I see in verse 5. And then lastly, in verse 6, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in that last verse of Psalm 23, we see the permanence of your job as a husband. It's all the days of her life. It's till death do you part. And I think this is the most important point about what it takes to be a great husband. You have to have that commitment of saying, I'm going to be there all the days of both of our lives. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ said to us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, when you stop and think about the fact that the relationship between husband and wife pictures the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, if you stop and think about salvation, it's a lot like marriage. First of all, marriage is something that happens in a moment of time. It's not a process, right? Are we beginning a process of you getting married today? You're going to get married over time? No. You're getting married today. You're married. It's done. It's not like, you know, well, we're getting married, you know, and we're about 3 weeks into it. We're still getting. No, it's just you get married and it's done. That's how salvation is. Salvation is not a process. It's a one-time event where you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And once you're saved, Jesus promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's how marriage is supposed to be. Because marriage is supposed to picture the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. And just as Jesus will never forsake us, you shall never forsake your wife. Now, is your wife going to do things wrong? Yes. Are you going to do things wrong? Yes. But here's the thing. We do things wrong every day. And the Lord Jesus Christ will always forgive us. And the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every morning. And so as a husband and as a wife, you're both making the commitment today that you're not just going to try this out and, you know, we're going to kind of see how things work. No, this is a permanent, lifelong commitment that you're making. And just as Jesus Christ will never forsake us, look, there's nothing we could do to lose our salvation. The Bible says we have everlasting life. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I thank God that no matter what I do, the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave me. And even if I sin, even if I do wrong, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's how marriage has to be. If you're going to hold a grudge and every time your wife or your husband does something wrong, you know, you're going to have an awful marriage because over the years, more and more grievances will be racked up. You have to forgive every morning. You have to keep true to your vow of loving and cherishing one another all the way unto the end. And it's a beautiful picture of salvation because that's exactly how the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he's always able to forgive us and move forward. And so if you, Orlando, and you, Tiffany, have freely and deliberately chosen each other as partners for life, would you please join hands? Orlando, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? Will you love her, honor and keep her, in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as you both shall live? Do you so promise?
I do.
Tiffany, will you have this man to be your wedded husband? Will you love him, honor and keep him, in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him so long as you both shall live? Do you so promise?
I do.
All right, Orlando, would you please repeat after me the following words? I, Orlando.
Take thee, Tiffany,
to be my wedded wife,
to be my wedded wife,
to have and to hold,
to have and to hold,
from this day forward,
from this day forward, for better for worse,
for richer for poorer,
for richer for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
in sickness and health,
to love and to cherish,
to love and to cherish,
till death do us part,
till death do us part.
All right, Tiffany, would you please repeat after me the following words? I, Tiffany,
take thee, Orlando,
to be my wedded husband,
to be my wedded husband,
to have and to hold,
to hold,
from this day forward, for better for worse,
for richer for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
to love, cherish, and obey,
till death do us part. May I have the rings, please? All right. And now, Orlando, would you please just put this on the ring finger of Tiffany's left hand? All right, and then Tiffany, you can put that on the ring finger of Orlando's left hand. And now, by the power invested in me by our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the presence of all of these witnesses, family and friends, our church, I now pronounce you man and wife. You may kiss the bride. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And may I be the first to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Orlando Burbank.